Well, we'll find out.
Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman Ali of ContramanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, Candelo Cambisa of Cambisa.org in West Palm Beach, Florida, bringing us today's topic on African ancestor veneration in the New World. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjure, or rework as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual voodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-host, Miss Cat and Conjureman Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi. Nice Hello. To hear your voice again. I have been out of touch for a while. I took my annual vacation, so it's nice to be back. I feel really good about it. Where I went for my annual vacation, well, I'm going to tell you, I went to Santa Clara, California. It's right down the road a bit. It's not far at all, but they were having the annual National Garden Railway Convention, and that changes city every year, and it's been 10 years since it's been held in Northern California. So my first chance to attend a national convention, and I enjoyed it a great deal. We went to, oh my gosh, 60 or 70 different train layouts, viewed them, met the people. People from as far away as Australia came to see our train layout, people from Canada, from Edinburgh, Scotland. And there were people from Yorkshire giving lectures on garden railways of England, which is kind of a real hotbed of garden railwaying. And there was a lot of fun to be had. It was really great. I bought a lot of little people, putting them out on the layout. Jenna got a training lesson today at the shop on how to run trains, and so Jenna got to wear the conductor's cap. We'll see what happens with that. And right now, I'm going to, normally at this point, I would have turned things over to Conjureman Ali, but for some reason, he's not here. Now, that's going to make it real interesting if he doesn't show up, but Candelo and Papa Newt and I can run a show, and that's just going to be what it's going to be, I guess. So, Papa Newt, prepare to put your thinking cap on.
And,
you may be called on to do some reading and root work as well as the announcing. But that's good. I like to see you do more than just announce. It's always nice. So I was late getting in myself to the show because I made Van oil and got it all over my hands. And I smell clean as clean could be. I really do. We're making a bunch of Van products this afternoon. All right. Well, is Candelo in the house?
Yes, ma'am. Salam alaikum, everyone. Thank you for having me, Miss Cat.
Well, thank you for being here. And without Ali, I guess we're gonna have the three of us. We've got enough of us to run a radio show. Maybe Nagashiva can read the announcements. Who knows? We're gonna punt here. So, now all of you who are listening to this show now live, we all know that we got people in chat room, we got people on the phone and so forth, but there's always people who 5 years later say, and I've listened to all your radio shows in podcasts, and of course they are all archived. So we always start off with the basics. The basics is, Here we have Candelo Kimbisa, star and host of his own show, Candelo's Corner, which takes a worldwide look at different indigenous religious and spiritual practices, focused primarily, I would say, in the Afro-Caribbean tradition, but he has had guests from all different paths and traditions, and that's how he likes to keep it, because he's a Libra, right, Candelo?
Yes, ma'am.
And he's bringing us a bit of his hometown to our show. Now, our show is African American Hoodoo, and that is primarily practiced by people who are Christian. These were people brought into slavery from Africa, and most of them joined either the Protestant or the Catholic Christian churches. There are also what are called Black Israelites, and these are Black Jews in America, but primarily Christian. When the slaves were brought to Catholic countries in the islands, or the Caribbean islands, many of them kept more of their own religions because the laws there were different. The relationship between slaves and slave owners were different. The plantations were bigger, and people were not as heavily, forced to do what their master said, because they would live in larger slave quarters with many more thousand people on them. So the whole pattern there was different, and there were forms of African religions were kept in the Caribbean. Well, they were sometimes covered over or kind of masked behind Catholic underpinnings. But when Castro came to power in Cuba, a lot of Cubans who practiced these Afro-Caribbean Catholic/African religions came to America to flee Fidel Castro's regime. And that was sort of the introduction to these Afro-Caribbean religions into the U.S. Now, some came from Haiti, and they brought voodoo, and some came from Cuba, and they brought the Apollo, and they also brought Santeria or Lukumi, as it's more properly called. And also, there are people from the Dominican Republic and people from Puerto Rico who maintained their African traditions, the 21 divisions, and so forth. But they did not spread across areas like Georgia or Detroit, Michigan, at first. And the African-American magic that I practice and teach retains a tremendous amount of Africanness. Well, imagine our surprise when we began to meet up with some of these practitioners, Palo, and they did almost the same things, but they did it a little different. They had a little different rules, and every different house of those religions has different rules, and the different religions themselves have different rules. I've heard some say, for instance, never put a picture of an ancestor in your bedroom. It's not good. Whereas I know a lot of Americans who do. And yet are practicing a form of ancestor veneration. They'll put the grandmother's picture in the baby's room, watch over the baby. So there are different ideas, and there's no one right way or one wrong way, because we're looking at is sort of a pan-African look. And Africa is a very large continent. So that's my introduction for my newbies, and I know there's always newbies, and I hope I didn't bore my old-timers who knew everything I was going to say. But we're going to get to ancestor veneration of an African quality as it exists in the New World. And at that point, I'm going to turn it over to you, Candelo.
Well, thank you, Ms. Kat. Thank you for your introduction. You're very right. There is no that way in ancestral veneration. As we know, in Cuba, we have, in Cuban Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, we have things that we call misa, or masses, spiritual masses, okay? That alone has four or five different ways of doing it, whether it be mesa blanca, what they call a white table, where only one cup of water is used to venerate and call down the spirit, or whether it be el cordón, which is a type of spiritual mass or reunion, as we like to call them, where everybody holds hands in a circular type motion and they call down spirit. But what I really wanted to talk to our audiences today, and the reason I wanted to talk about it was because so many people, as you know, Ms. Kat and Papa Newt and everybody that's in the air, we have a plethora of people that call us all the time for consultations.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times, where people are thinking that they're hexed or someone has put something on there, or they're seeing that tall black man or that big Viking-looking man by their door at night, they're thinking that someone actually sent these spirits to them when it's actually ancestral-based. And it can be fixed so simply. Ms. Kat, I know you've had the cases. I know that Conjurman Ali often comes along the cases for these types of things. And what happens is that people have forgotten that these people are in, that these people are in their spiritual cords or in their DNA. These people are going to follow you if no one else is paying attention to them or giving them the reverence or filling them liquid libation. Or sometimes something as small as speaking to them.
Let me break in here for two things. Number one, everyone in this chat room is saying your voice sounds muffled and far away.
Can you talk a little louder? Yes, I will speak a little louder. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
How about
that's
now?
Okay. That sounds much better to me. How about everybody in the chat room? Anybody hearing him better? Say testing one more time. Hey, Candela, say testing, testing.
Testing, testing. One, two, three. I guess I got to put on my loud radio voice today.
Your loud radio voice. Yeah, for some reason we've got a pretty bad line. It's okay now, as long as you speak loud. Okay, and number two, I want to say something about this too, which is the idea that people believe they are cursed or haunted. More likely, they believe they are haunted. And I've had this come. They say, well, there's a ghost in the room. Now, ghosts, as we understand them in folk magic, tend to be a European style of being, and I call them locational ghosts, locational hauntings. Now, people in America are all mixed. They're not all just one pure thing, and so their traditions are mixed. And in the British, Irish, Scottish traditions, locations are haunted by the ghosts of those who died badly in those places. The ghosts of those who are died unfortunately or sadly in a certain place. That house is haunted, right? They might have died in a murder and be seeking somehow to redress the situation. So I get cases of people who move into a new house and they say, that house is haunted. And I've even gone out to such a house or asked them to do some investigation on their own. The house is not haunted. It's a coincidence that an ancestor has come and said, gee, this house reminds me of where I used to live, or are you taking care of this and that? And many people, just like you said, Candela, they don't know the difference between a locational ghost, a haunting, and an ancestor kind of knocking on the door of their mind and saying, hello, hey, I have a message for you. And we've all experienced this, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's just it. But, again, I also wanted to get into a little bit of conversations with our ancestors. There's a lot of people, when doing readings and things of these sorts nowadays, are doing mechanical readings. I know, Ms. Kat, you don't, and I know Papa Newt doesn't. But, you know, there's no connection, as they say, to spirit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe in connection to spirit or ancestors when doing this, especially when it comes to sounds and things of that sort. I know many people have heard something like a bell ringing once in a while, or the clinging of chimes and things of that sort, certain smells, certain things that come into the environment that you do not know where they come from, especially when I get around African-Americans and people of the diaspora, where they say, well, I smell this funky smell around me. I don't know what it is. I check myself out. It's not me that's smelling like that. It is not me that, you know, it's no one around me is smelling like that. I said, have you checked your ancestral cord? Have you checked those ancestors that are around you?
Well, you know, this is something interesting to me because in the Hoodoo spiritualist tradition, we don't do what we would call ancestral readings per se. It's not billed as the word reading, but we do contact the spirits of the dead, not all of whom are ancestors, mind you. In other words, someone may say, I used to work for Mr. Jones, and you know, he passed away in 1997, and I miss him, and I'd like to know how he's doing on the other side. And so he wouldn't be an ancestor, but a spiritualist, and this would be both in the black and white spiritualist churches, would attempt to contact him. You know, now what you said about aromas and fragrances as a clue, I was always told when I was young, working in the spiritualist church, that that very often grandmothers would be recognized by the aroma of roses or a floral perfume or a floral toilet soap, because those types of soaps and perfumes were popular for older women at that time. In other words, someone who had died in the 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s would be recognized by this fragrance of those flowers. And so much so that one spiritualist minister said, you can always tell the grandmothers. They smell like grandmother's roses.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on another note, you got to understand, we also got to understand, especially us from the diaspora, that many of our ancestors did not have the means to get floral soaps and get all those.
Mm-hmm. Sure, so, of course.
Mm-hmm. So that's where that comes from in those later type of spirits. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to say and put this inside of everybody's mind, because I often get people that tell me, well, I put up my ancestor altar. And I ask them, what is on your ancestor altar? Explain to me item by item what is on there. Well, I got a picture of Martin Luther King. I got a picture of Lama Dama. I got a picture of this, and I got a picture. The first thing I ask him is, okay, are those people your ancestors?
Right.
No, they're not. Okay. Well, you should have them on another altar. Your ancestor altar, your ancestor things should be things that are dear to you and people that are really, really, really your ancestors.
That's right.
And I get
that's
that
right. I'm gonna. That is so right. People say, "Oh well, so and so, some famous person, was my spiritual ancestor." But you know, I'm gonna point out something Vicky Trancho said in the chat room. Tobacco smoke too, and Alchemical Artisans Hour said perpetual smell of Chantilly, her signature perfume. And I'm gonna tell you just about the tobacco. There's a brand of tobacco called Cherry Hearing. I don't know what that's the name of it, Cherry Hearing. And I had a client come to me this goes back 25 years, long, long ago. A client came to me and said, I keep on smelling tobacco, but it's not like the tobacco I smoke. It's this scented tobacco. And I said, well, what does it smell like? And he said, well, it's a brand called Cherry Hearing Tobacco. And I said, okay, you know anybody who ever smoked Cherry Hearing Tobacco? Because obviously that person, he goes, well, that was my grandfather's tobacco. I'm like, and you came all the way to me to get it? He couldn't figure it out. See, he didn't know. But he would smell it. And he said he would smell it behind his chair. And he'd turn and it would go away. And I said, well, your grandfather's right behind you. He's trying to tell you something. Yeah. Vicky Trancho says, yes, my dad smoke Cherry Herring. That's what it is, herring. So these cues, people don't pick up on them. They don't get it, you know. Miss Michael mentioned Cherry Herring tobacco named after a Danish liqueur. Oh, well, thank you, Miss Michael. So the other thing is, I'm going to tell you a one that sometimes happens. People will get a craving for a certain food that they never craved before. And it'll be an ancestor's favorite food. And they'll find out later. They'll ask around the family, well, I just can't get enough of this, whatever it is. And it'll be their ancestor's favorite food. But let's go back to what you were saying. Martin Luther King, unless you are descended from Martin Luther King, he's not your ancestor. That's a venerated personage. It's the equivalent, what we might call a secular saint or a folk saint, in that sainting, as we understand it, comes from the Catholic Church or other religious hierarchical organizations. They canonize or name people as saints. And there are saints in Hinduism and other things too. But many of us do have secular saints, people who are a poet, an actor, a political movement leader, someone who was an artist, you know, that had they been alive, you might call them a guru, or you might have followed them or joined their group or helped them in some way or wanted to be associated, but they're deceased. And yet, that is not an ancestor, and that's a super good point because so many people think, oh, yeah, so-and-so is my ancestor. Now, I'm going to tell you a funny story, Candelo. Having said that, I once went to a spiritualist group where we were doing work to contact our oldest ancestor who would have contact with us. In other words, I wasn't going to get some, Homo afarensis or some, you know, pre-species or something. It was going to be an ancestor that would be willing to contact me and speak to me. And we did preparation for this. We did a service, and everyone, when then we all went silent and we all tried to contact our own oldest ancestor. And I came up, to my surprise, King Solomon appeared. And I went, holy moly, I missed the bus here, right? Why would King Solomon show up? Well, I later had an ancestral reading with someone from the Afro-Caribbean tradition. And I said, listen, I had this very weird experience that King Solomon said, you know, yeah, he was my ancestor, my oldest ancestor, willing to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said to this other guy who did a much more African-style working, I said, is that true? And he said, yes, it is. So I thought, all right, maybe he was just flattering me. Okay, he was just flattering me. Well, then I got into genealogy. I had not been studying it in the way that I was. And I went on a website called genie.com, and I typed in, what's my relationship to King Solomon? And dang all, he's like my, you know, 101st great-grandfather.
Wow.
And there it is. There it is. Because I come from a family of rabbis who saved their genealogy when other people didn't care. These rabbis were real all about the genealogy going back to the Middle Ages and earlier. Now, theoretically, being descended from King Solomon, I'd be descended from King David, but King David didn't want to talk to me. Just King Solomon.
Wow.
So don't be surprised at what you may get, you know, if someone all of a sudden says, hey, you know, the emperor of China showed up, it may be true. It's not. People all laugh and say, oh, you say you're a reincarnation of Cleopatra. But I'm not talking about reincarnations here. I'm talking about a descendant, and certainly King Solomon had 200 and some wives. So there are many descendants of his around.
We were talking about DNA. We're talking about DNA anyway. As you can see, whenever we do go do our DNAs, we get hits all over the place, okay?
Especially that's right.
People like myself. We get hits all over the place. So there's no telling who you can be a descendant of. So I never, never, ever disclaim anyone who says something of that sort.
That's right. That's right.
I also wanted to say, in African-American things, yes, there is a type of ancestral reverence. What happens is that many people choose not to call it that. Because if you look at when you go to certain African-American homes and you look around and you see the obituaries with a Bible open next to it of a person who has passed on, okay, the first year of the person's passing and many times after that, a plate or a table is set for that person where that person was at. Where that person used to fit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the cemetery and lay flowers mm-hmm. on those special days, that is mm-hmm. a type of ancestral reverence.
That's right.
Okay? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, ma'am.
Well, I was going to say, this is where we get to the picture we put up here as the picture for the show, is a whole bunch of little photo booths photos. These are these little dime store photo booth photos of people, mostly from the 1940s. And you can find these for sale. These are people's ancestors. All of these that are shown here came from one collection. and they were offered for sale on eBay as a set. This is one family's little photo booth photos, and some of them have halos around them. Some of them are just plain. When I was young, you know, I like to frame things in pretty frames, and you could go find a frame at the Goodwill cheap, you know, and it might have a little picture in it, but stuck around it would be lots of these little photos. And I'd, you know, who are these people? They would be stuck in there. I could never get rid of them because somebody had put these little photos in this frame, stuck between the frame and the glass in front. You know what I'm saying? Not framed behind. And that is a very African-American way of memorializing all the grandchildren of somebody or all the children of somebody. Big photo of them when they died, a nice portrait picture of them up, and then these little photos stuck around it into the frame. And that is ancestor veneration.
And amazingly so, Miss Kat, you are going to laugh at me right now. My now girlfriend, yes, I do have a girlfriend, guys. The first guys to know it, over here in the Lucky Mojo Root Work Hour.
Mm-hmm.
Her ancestor picture that's on her altar looks
mm-hmm.
something similar to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a plethora of people. Instead of one picture, it is a plethora. A whole bunch of little squares with all her deceased relatives. Exactly like that.
Yeah. And there's another phrase. When I was young, people would put these photos on the mantelpiece, and Shiva just pointed that out, on the mantelpiece. They wouldn't call it an altar. And the word that I most often heard back in the 1960s, 70s, 80s was, oh, that's my memory place. That's my memory place. And the memory place would be where the photos were of everybody, including things, too, like the little bronze baby shoes or, you know, other little mementos, a pipe that belonged to somebody. And there'd be even these little, what I would call arrangements with silk flowers. And it would be the photo of the person who had died and some silk flowers and a little dish with some seashells. We went to the beach together or whatever it would be. Something that they liked. That's and those were never called an altar, never. But that's what they were. They were ancestral altars.
Exactly. And guys, I also want to remind you that not all our ancestors smoked. Okay. Remember when
mm-hmm.
you get that little sour taste in your mouth? Most of the time, that person chewed tobacco. Okay. Just remember that.
That's for sure. That's right. A lot of people chewed. They chewed Skoal and things like that, and dip snuff. They W. E. Garrett snuff. And that's another one I want to bring up too. When people learn this work through reading a book, they think I've got to give alcohol to everybody because alcohol is a sacred libation, blah blah, and so forth and so on. But there are people who were teetotalers in life. Now, this is 100 years later, nobody knows what a teetotaler was. But a teetotaler was a person who vowed never to drink. And not only that, there was a slogan, lips that touch liquor shall never touch mine. That was called the teetotaler's pledge. So the man had to give up drinking if he was going to marry that teetotaling woman, or vice versa. And they would never want an offering of rum. You know what I'm saying?
I love this. I absolutely love this, Ms. Kat, because believe it or not, guys, I've said it before. I said it on my radio, our radio show in Devil's Corner. I don't know if I ever said it here. My father was a raving alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm talking about a man that sometimes would get up in the morning when I was young, after he was older, and got clean, got sober. But used to drink MD-2020, okay? When that
mm-hmm.
wasn't around, he would drink cough syrup, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after he gave up that poison that was poisoning him and poisoning our family, do you think that for 1 minute in the spirit world I would give him alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No,
that's the thing. You would never want to... you know, he got sober, and you don't want to no alcohol for his offerings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's one more thing I want to tell everybody. Okay, when giving offerings, okay, at least in my tradition, okay, we always use white plates or things of that sort.
Yes.
But we also use plates that have been cracked. Okay, I like to tell you this. Why? Why do we use plates that have been cracked? Because it breaks that line between the material and the spiritual world. It no longer makes them think that they're alive. Okay? I've heard people say, no, I give nothing but the best to my ancestors. Nothing but new, brand new plates, brand new this, brand new that. No wonder they're a hindrance to you. They still think they're alive.
Uh-huh.
You have to break that connection to this world.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Now, again, you and I sometimes we talk and we go, wow, that's just the same as. In many African-American cemeteries, they don't like greenery growing over it. In fact, there's an old song by Blind Lemon Jefferson, "Just see that my grave is kept clean," by which they mean sweeping the grave. The grave is swept clean with fine sand or gravel. And cracked plates are put on the grave, cracked plates and cracked cups. And a lot of people who were, you know, highfalutin anthropologists, and they go, oh, well, these must have just cracked by being set out there and the animals knocked them over. But no, they were cracked. Those were used for the offerings that were put on the grave, cracked plates and cracked cups. And that remains.
Wow.
You'll find that all in Texas and every place. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
You just gave me goosebumps, and I know you gave it to the rest of our listening audience.
Yeah. And in the spiritualist churches that I have attended, the black spiritualist churches, I was always taught we use white plates to do all our work on, and usually restaurant ware, you know, the coarser type stuff, not fine china, but we use white plates with no decoration, and as one person said to me, in clear glass, not with no Mickey Mouse decal on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be clear.
Yes,
now, that's
does.
Something you'll see in the spiritual churches that were founded by Mother Leafy Anderson, where the veneration of Black Hawk was used. It was quite common to put a crucifix in a water glass, and often to use a stemmed water glass and put a crucifix in it, and then that water would be blessed for holy water. But those people did not claim to be descendants of Black Hawk, mind you. They were venerating Black Hawk. But you'll see similar things where powerful deceased spirits are being venerated, as you'll see in the ancestors. But with the ancestors, it's going to be more home-like. It's going to be more down home. People will often put out food and things like that. And Reverend Dr. Sweets asked a question. What do you do? And I'm going to put this to you, Kendall. What do you do when you don't know what the ancestor likes? What do you use in general? Well, I'm going to answer the first. You don't do in general. You find out what the ancestor likes. So Kendall, answer that question, will you?
Well, Miss Kat, you know, and that's a very hard question to ask unless I'm asking the specific ancestor what he likes, okay? But little bit by little bit, as you said, with aromas and smells and little things that you may like that you never liked before, those things could come up as what they like. But everyone, okay? At least everyone when I was growing up liked rice, okay?
Mm.
Very simple, okay? Everyone would like a little sip of coffee or tea. But you know what everyone needs and likes? Well, not everyone likes, but everyone is composed of water.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Give them water. Okay?
That's right.
Okay. You can't mess up with that.
Yes.
Our bodies
right.
are composed of it. Our bodies are composed of it. The same water that we're drinking now, our ancestors drank. And their ancestors drink.
That's
you
right.
Understand? That's it, baby. Water.
That's right. Water. That is, and that is something that is so universally used also in, like I said, both Afro-Caribbean, African-American. It's always water. And some people will put out, like I said, flowers are liked by many, and these various foodstuffs are liked by many, but water is the common one. That is correct. That is correct.
Ms. Kat, before we get on to our readings, I want to share a little story that my godmother told me many years ago, Ibaye, when she's passed away. She was also in Cuba during the revolution, where they couldn't afford flowers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me a story, and she says, if you ever have this problem that you cannot buy flowers for your ancestors or for even me when I pass away, when you go by a flower bush, when you go by a flower store, you dedicate those flowers to me.
Hmm.
Just as simple as that. Say a prayer and dedicate those flowers to me.
Hmm.
Just as
mm-hmm.
simple as that. And, hey, what better gift than a prayer?
So you just what you're saying is if you walk by a florist but you can't afford to buy, that's when you say the prayer.
That's when you say the prayer.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Well, you know, that's the same type of thing too that others have told me, that ancestors hear you. They're not only with you on your altar. They're with you all the time, right? They may be paying attention to something else and you have to call them in, but they are not such that they only can appear on an altar. They're not limited to that. They're always with you. And you can call upon them, for instance, if you had an ancestor who was an engineer, an electrical engineer, and you needed some help, you could say, hey, you know, so-and-so, can you give me an idea here? In other words, you don't have to be at the altar. And it's not only about veneration, but it's also about learning, cooperation, and being watched over, you know?
Mm. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I often remember my godmother's sayings and doings. Okay? Within
mm-hmm.
that and speaking about it, it is more than enough for her veneration.
Mm-hmm.
But I want everyone to understand, and everyone that's listening to us, that there are no special prayers, there are no special initiations, there are no special anything when dealing with your ancestors. You speak
mm-hmm.
to them as plainly and as clearly as I am speaking to all of you.
Yes, yes. Alchemical Artisans Hour pointed out that Chinese neighbors used to leave 3 oranges or tangerines in front of their photo of their most famous ancestor. That is true. You will see those also in Japan, tangerines, oranges left as offerings. And we're going to have to come back and do another show on what about bad ancestors. I think we'll do that another time. But right now our music is on. Yeah, right now our music is on, and that we're going to go to our first caller, and Papa Newt is going to read the announcements, I hope.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your host, Catherine Ironwood, and this week's special guest, Candelo Cambisa, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners and answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. And now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling in from area code 303 in Dallas. This is Anne Marie. Anne Marie, are you there?
I am. Hi. Can you hear me?
Hi. Well, I can. And welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Thank you.
And you're welcome, hon. And I see you have not gone to Ms. Kat or Conchamana Lee or any other readers and reworkers on this situation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And Anne Marie writes, many things have been breaking lately. For example, computer crash, clothes tear, car dented, etc. I realized something was off when my purse broke and the contents dumped out in front of a coworker. Can you help me figure out what is going on and how to turn this around? Turn it back to you, Ms. Kat.
Wow. All right, Anne Marie.
This is
classic, and I'm going to tell you a couple of things about this. People often ask me, what is the difference between a curse and a jinx? Or what is the difference between a curse and cross conditions? And in fact, you have basically described exactly what we would call a jinx or cross conditions. Nobody is dying. Nobody is losing their home. No one is losing their job. No one has received a bad news from the doctor. This is exactly the kind of thing that happens under jinx or cross conditions. Minor things go wrong, but they keep on going wrong, and it keeps on and it keeps on. Now, I'm going to read for you, but I could tell you that I can also do this without tarot cards because I can feel it. But I'm going to I'll pull down three cards on it, but I don't think I need to. But I'll give it a try anyway. All right.
Thank you.
So, card number one is a card that is called the Six of Swords. This is a man sending a woman and child away across a river, and in the boat there are six swords. This is card of sadness and also wanting to relocate you. Somebody wants to relocate you, basically. Mm-hmm. Someone would like you to move away from where you are. Now, it happened in front of your coworker, but, you know, you also have things like your car was dented. Somebody wants to hotfoot you, basically, but they don't have enough power to do it, is how I read this card. They want you to go. Next card, weird, is the Eight of Cups. It's a guy walking away from Eight Cups down by the beach. They want you to go. Somebody wants you to go. Let's just put it that way. They don't want to hurt you. They want you to go. And now you can fight them back, and we're going to get to that later, how that's going to be done. But the third card, which is the future, is actually a card that shows celebration at your home. It's the Four of Wands. You win. But so this is a castle and two people laughing and praising God and holding up beautiful fruits and flowers and leaves, and there's a canopy of fruits and flowers and leaves. So somebody wants you gone. I could give some ideas about who this might be, but I'll maybe leave that for Candelo to do. But whoever wants you gone has actually, in my opinion, drawn a line. They don't want to hurt you. They justify what they're doing. They say, well, I want her out of here. But they don't. They say, but I would never hurt her, which it makes it easier to overcome what they've done. But you'll notice the things that are going on here really are kind of, like you said, clothes tearing, car dented, purse broke out in front of the coworker. I'd wonder about that coworker. I'm just going to throw that out there just for kicks. But I have a very strong feeling here from the third card that you actually will be able to overcome this. It's not the worst thing in the world. Now, let's look at what kind of a person it might be doing this. In the first card, we have a man pushing a woman and child on a barge boat and saying, get across the river. And there also, as an odd thing, there are swords in the boat, but they're not in the person. So that's why I say this person said, oh, I'm pure. I got clean hands. I'd never hurt her, you see. But the swords in the boat corresponds to the car being dented. You know, it's your vehicle is damaged. The boat mm-hmm. literally has swords piercing through the flat bottom of this little rowboat. Then the second card again, the Eight of Cups. Well, there's something stolen here. There's a ninth cup missing. And I have to say that this person may feel a little bit of jealousy or may want something you have. But they're basically saying, just turn back. Go back to where you came from. So have you been living where you are a long time?
No, ma'am.
How long have you been living there?
I've been here for about 2 years.
2 years. And how long have you had the job that you have?
I have had a job, well, in this particular office at the job because I was promoted. I've been there 1 year.
One year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And has this been going on mostly during this time period, right?
Yeah, it's been going on for about 2 months is when I began to notice things.
Yeah, because, see, they're looking at that they want to turn you back. Somebody wants you to go, whether it's on the job or whether it's where you live. Somebody wants you to get out, and they're just putting little stumbling blocks in your way, trying to wreck things. But the third card with the fruits and the vegetables says by midsummer, end of summer, really this is around the time, calling us may be the best thing you did. This is all by the time of the harvest season, it'll all be resolved. And the weird thing is you might even end up being friends with this person who did this. But whoever it is has they have a minor magical talent. You see what I'm saying? It's minor magical talent. Reverend Dr. Sweets in the chat room said very low level work like weed of misfortune. Yeah, it's like crossing or jinxing. It's not. They're not trying to kill you. So let me turn this over to Candelo and see what he has to say.
Thank you.
Hold on, young lady. What is your name again? I'm sorry.
It's Anne Marie.
Anne Marie. Salam alaikum. Alaikum salam. Sambia parriba, sambia pawaho, sambia loquata del tao, lava calumalu, sita rayo yumba. Satan kita rayo, sita rayo mayumbe. Sita rayo saravan en dobi palma fin, longo batalla, tendita palo, salto si te. Miss Anne Marie, let me ask you a question, child, because under this thing, it also tells me that you're having a little bit of spiritual blockage, because you, young lady, used to be able to feel and see spirits or something. You had something to do with the spiritual world that we're keeping in at this thing. Because under this letter, it is telling me that things are falling from your hands. You're seeing shadows on the sides of your eyes, and you're producing ideas and then later not remembering them, okay? It also tells me in this letter that you're having sometimes sexual dreams. These sexual dreams aren't normal, okay? Whatever they sent to you was to try to have you possessed and have you lose your job, as Ms. Kat said, okay? But I also want you to be very careful with your teeth, especially your back teeth, sweet. If you need to get to a dentist, you need to get to a dentist now. You need to make that connection with spirit, child, because it's there. And it will be better for you, okay?
Okay.
Let me tell you something, that this person who did this to you, well, let me tell you first that your love comes through hechicería, as we say in Spanish, through working magically. You need to start working with spirits, child. You need to get you some candles. You need to get you some Bible passages you can work with, because you can work through this. Okay. Because it tells me that your guardian angel or that ancestor that walks with you says that your luck comes through working this or will come through working this. Okay? So you got to know that. I also, my friend, you said you've only been at this job for 2 years, but I see something beneficial coming your way. Okay?
Okay.
Either a promotion or a move to a bigger office or something of that sort. I got to tell you, man, that this person that has tried or has thrown at you, as we say, was either a close friend, or a family member. Okay? Not all family is family, as they say. So keep your eye open. Keep your eye open for a person who either dyes their hair on the normal, okay, or has some type of facial mark, something on their face. That distinguishes them away from everyone else. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
All right. Now, if I led you wrong, you do tell me, love.
All right. Well, this is real interesting, because what I see, too, is there's something about that coworker, the purse dumped in front of the coworker. In magical symbolism, to dump your purse is to lose your money. And the very first thing Candelo said was money falling from your hands, right? And the system of reading that he uses is just like mine. It has certain meanings to each different thing that you cast. So I would be very cautious around that coworker. I might want to put up a little bit of thought into that. But this is somebody who wants you to move. Now, we're going to turn because Chandra Manali is not here. And so we're going to turn to Papa Newt for two things, and we're going to pitch in and pile on, because this was a very simple reading. We're going to pitch in and pile on with some more ideas. But Papa Newt, what would you do, first of all, to stop this, just to stop it? Second of all, we're going to have to get into some protection against it ever happening again, right?
Oh, I would definitely be doing, getting to just, because just reading your description of the situation, I'm just in here like, okay, they're being hit. So I would definitely be getting to cleansing yourself and your home. And there's just gosh, I was reading this earlier today, actually, from Miss Kat's wonderful book, The Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, which is just a very simple, but very, I've used it myself, the three ingredients bath, which is like saltpeter, salt, and even just that laundry blooming.
Okay.
Because of the blue, make sure to reverse back any of the evil, any of this mess that is being sent upon you, and you know, make sure that you sprinkle and cover. You know, you want to cover yourself and pray to divinity as you perceive it. God, Goddess, the big maybe, however you call upon those powers, you call upon your guiding spirits to help cast off this mess that is upon you, and even take this water out after you're done and dry it into the crossroads. But I would also afterwards make sure that you do protect yourself. This can be something carrying something like a little black bag with your double shoestring, basil, and even having some, asafoetida in there just to keep things off of you. But also, I would invite you to consider looking into doing work of money stay with me, things to keep your money protected. And I think we can get some more information from Ms. Kat and Candela as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was good. So basically, he's reading it the same way we do. That it's a low-level work. So cleansing yourself, cleansing your home, saltpeter salt and laundry blueing makes a great bath, and it will take off this stuff. The laundry blueing is interesting, and it goes to something I would like to recommend, which is the color blue. In my tradition, which that I was born into, is Jewish folklore, and that's almost the same as Islamic. It's Middle Eastern type folklore, even though I come from an Ashkenazi Jewish family that was up in Germany for 1,000 years. But we use the color blue and or the color red in some circumstances to keep off the evil thoughts of our coworkers, compatriots, and family members, or anyone who has jealousy. So the bluing kind of works with that. And you may see about blue spirit trees, spirit bottle trees, or people painting their underneath the ceiling of their house. It's what's called haint blue against spirits. So the color blue is going to be useful to you in this, and Papa Newt identified that. This kind of bath is sometimes called a blue bath. It's not dark blue, it's just light blue. Now, the other things come out of different traditions. Double shoestring and asafoetida and basil all come out of different traditions. So that's something good to carry. But you might also want to wear a little bit of a piece of jewelry that has a blue eye on it or something like that. If that person is your coworker and is around you, you can buy evil eye bracelets. You can buy anything like that. A lot of people wear and they think they're cute because they have little eyeballs on them. But they also can just be a circle with a white ring and then a little black dot. You'll see. So that is, I would recommend that, or you could put it in a bag. He recommended money stay with me. And on one of the things I like to do with that, if you find things breaking, like your computer and all, money stay with me is good to stop the breaking. But I would mix it 50-50 with Jinx Killer. Jinx Killer is done to cut a jinx off. So mix the Jinx Killer, whether you're going to use the powder, whether you're going to use the bath crystal, whether you're going to use the oil, however you use it, mix it 50-50 with money stay with me. Because that's the form that the jinx is taking. You see, things that cost you money, right?
Yes.
And you can take the bath crystals, for instance, mix them 50-50, do a little bit of laundry on your clothes, keep your clothes from tearing, do a little spritz and sprinkle around your car, for instance, wash your car with a little bit of that mixed together. Some people will take the oil, mix it in with water, shake it up, and just spritz it on things. It's up to you how you want to do it. But mix them 50-50 because it's somehow, possibly when you got this promotion that you mentioned a year ago and moved into the new office, somebody may have felt that they ought to have been promoted, you see. And they may feel that they deserve the space you got, and if you got an increase in money, well, they're going to make it to be not worth your while. See, oh, well, she got whatever, so many X thousand dollars more per year now. Well, I'm going to cost her car that much, you see. So those things happen, and you want to protect that stuff. So money, stay with me, works in connection with the jinx killer. Now, one other thing I would recommend that you do is take the names of these people that you suspect, and you might want to put them in just a little jar of sugar and say, now get nice to me. They're already halfway nice. You see, they didn't want to kill you. They don't want you to die in a flaming car wreck. They want, so maybe. Now, Reverend Dr. Sweet said, I wonder if you gained your promotion through magical manipulation. Did you do any magic to get your promotion?
Yes.
Oh, score one for Reverend Dr. Sweet. Good going, Reverend Dr. Sweets. This is why we call him a doctor. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's... Right, so Reverend Dr. Sweets got that. And so whoever you held back is fighting back from underneath. All right.
Okay.
I would also like to add, if by any means you cannot find all these things at one time or in a quick hurry, Miss Cat sells these little things called salache. We call them salache in Spanish. Jet. Okay. One, it will protect you, and two, it'll take that load off your back of those little things you're feeling guilty about, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, Jet is amazing. We sell Jet, and it is used to take off negativity, and it's used for good luck. Very good thing. It's very lightweight. It's a stone, but it's like petrified coal. Yeah, it's a real, real interesting one. When you put the names of the people that you think may have done this into sugar, just lay them in, and as they get sweeter to you, you know, you can make some. If the place you work, you can bring in some sugar cookies, sprinkle some sugar that you've added. You know, buy the cookies that are already made with frosted sugar, this and that and the other. Sprinkle some of your own home sugar that has their names in it on the cookies. Or if it's somebody in your family, as was also suggested, same thing. Just give them a little bit of sweetness that has been prepared. Pray over it. And I would say one other thing, too. Because this is a low-level jinx, I would consider saying Psalms number 1. Psalms number 1 says that those who are ungodly and do not serve well are expected to leave the congregation. Now, congregation doesn't necessarily mean your church. It can be any the combined group of people. So Psalms 1 says that those who do not follow God's way and are not nice people will be themselves forced to leave. And look around you. Maybe somebody's going to all of a sudden move out. Then you'll know who did that, was the one who has to go. Psalms 1, you can just say it any time you feel like it's a very short psalm. Write it out on a piece of paper. Put it in your wallet so that your money doesn't go. Put it under your shoe and in your foot, in the insole of your shoe if you like. But that's a good one. Those who love the Lord and those who are helpful and friendly to their neighbors, they stay. Everybody else has to go. And Psalms number 1 is not a death psalm. All right. All righty. Thank you very much for your call, and we're going to turn this on over to Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 202. This is Amber. Amber, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Doing well. And if you're calling in from Washington, D.C., welcome. And this is your first time on the show.
Yes.
Excellent. And I see you have not gone to Ms. Kat or Countryman Ali or any other readers on this situation. And she writes, problems in my relationship. Now, Amber, may I ask, can you give us in a couple sentences, what specifically is the problems in this relationship?
Physical abuse.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Turn it back to you, Ms. Kat.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to let Papa Newt take the first reading since he's substituting for Ollie here. But this is a serious thing. So before we go to a reading on physical abuse or what you can do, let me ask you some questions, because I will never read on physical abuse matters until I know that the person I'm reading for is safe. Are you safe where you are talking to me right now?
Yes, I am.
All right. And is this abuse life-threatening, or is it just something that you're dealing with?
It started about a year ago. At the time, it was life-threatening. Now, it doesn't occur so much.
All right. And do you... Okay, I'm going to ask a couple more questions because I am concerned. This goes beyond... This is every reader's nightmare. We don't want to be the last person spoken to by someone who ends up dead. And I'm going to tell you, it does happen. So we want to ask some questions. Same with people with severe medical problems. We need to concern ourselves with the social aspects here. Are you married to this person?
No, I am not married to him.
And not married to him, and do you have children with him?
Yes, I do. I have a son with him.
Okay. All right, so there's a link that's not going to be easily broken, and our readers need to understand that. We can't just say go away because there's going to be something that ties, and that's the child. All right, now I guess one more question. Has he gone in for any kind of counseling on this?
Yes, he has.
He has had
anger management. He's also had... a therapist to work through some past childhood traumas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. That's what I want to hear. That's very, very good. And I guess my last question, does he have an alcohol or drug problem?
Yes, I believe there's an underlying drug problem there, even though he tries to hide it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. All right, now I'm going to turn it over to Papa Newt, but he's making good faith efforts. That's a good sign. But it's Vicky Trancho says if it's life threatening once, it's life threatening now. I do know that there are people who have changed, but you're in a deep situation now that in some ways is more than a tarot card reader can fix for you. Okay? So, and I'm going to throw out one more thing, I guess, before I throw it to Papa Newt. I'm just going to tell people, and this is, you know, little things that I've picked up over the years. If a man hits you, but does it in such a way he doesn't mark your face, he wants to keep his reputation, right? If he marks your face, he doesn't care. If he chokes you, he doesn't care if you die. Okay, because you can kill someone inadvertently where you just thought you were going to choke them unconscious, but they die. So those are the three levels of that kind of abuse that are very important to understand how much of a threat you're under. If he kicks you or hits you or it doesn't show when you wear your normal clothes, he's hoping to keep you captive for life, and he's going to keep you alive while he tortures you. If he hits you in the face, he's actually trying to tell the world that you're his possession, his property. And if he tries to choke you, don't wait. Just go that night. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. Now, let's turn this over to Papa Newt.
Right. And I don't like any of the cards that I have down, and I have the Sibylla Oracle card that was handy for me to use. And I have, there's showing here, the first card I have is called Inconsistency. There's just you know, hasn't been inconsistency with fright. I mean, it's you never know when he's going to, even though he's getting help, but honestly, and even just the feeling that I'm getting with this, I don't like the situation for you at all, and your children. And even then, I had a card, the anger card is down here, and while I was shuffling, the card fell on top of it, which is called presence. It's like, it's laid right on top of the anger, so it's like, you know, he's going to give you these presents to say, oh, I'm sorry, oh, forgive me, but going to come back, and it's just going to be the same cycle. I would really, really consider the best options to for your safety and your children's safety.
Okay.
That's what I have to say on that.
Yeah. This is serious business and difficult to read on a subject like this, because there are Candela, what are you going to say?
I have to measure my words. So just, I'm going to speak very slowly, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to speak very slowly, sweetie, but I know that you're a fighter, okay? Why do I know that you're a fighter? Because in the reading, I got Sarabanda and Liri, okay? Sarabanda is everything that is iron. It is everything that is doctors. It is everything that is accidents. Everything that is brute force. But Liri is the law, okay?
Okay?
The law. He's the person that goes out and hunts people and sticks them in prison, okay?
Okay.
So, young lady, I'm going to take this reading another way, because all my hairs in my body are standing up, okay?
Okay.
Young lady, you have thought about actually killing this man. It has gone through your head a lot of times. Sweetie, pick up your stuff and go before you wind up doing what you feel at sometimes you need to do. Okay?
Okay.
Your children, you're already not getting along well with your family. The letter tells me that. Okay? Probably because of the situation. This is not the first time that this has happened to you. You already know how this thing is. Liri tells me that you may get into an argument with this guy, with this fellow, and you might be the one winding up killing him.
Okay.
Then everything that you have done, everything will go in vain, child.
Okay.
Leave. To hell with the court system, to hell with that. I do not want to see you in trouble.
Thank you. Okay.
And there's another thing I want to tell you. I want you to be very, very careful, because you've been a little distracted lately. Your mind is not in the right place, okay? This letter also warns me about accidents, not paying attention to things. I want you to be sure that you are well rested before jumping inside the car, before doing certain things, cutting meat, taking a hatchet and cutting up stuff in your house and stuff like that there. Because the distraction can lead you into getting hurt if you haven't already. Okay? And that's all I have to say about that.
Wow. Okay. So I'm going to try to pull some root work advice out of this, but I'm also going to give some social advice too, because this is a bad thing. This is what we're reading on this is more than just problems in a relationship. It might be that he has had therapy, and it might be that he is doing better now. But you said the word that I did not want to hear. You think he's doing drugs. And this goes to things that make people so unpredictable, and that is what Papa Newt said. He got the card of inconstancy or inconsistency. There's something this guy can go hot or cold, he can do or not do depending on a foreign chemical in his body. So things may go well for 3 weeks and then suddenly explode. So the unpredictability factor is something that Papa Newt saw. Candelo also saw something, which is that in a moment of self-defense, you might kill him, and that's going to lose you the child anyway, you see? So you're going to be put under the hand of the law. Now, you may get off eventually, but you're going to be in prison while you're, happening, and as a Troll Tal had said, and the child will lose both parents, one dead, one in prison, until you get out. So my feeling is you've got to get out, because any idea of this, you know, if you can live separate for a couple of years and maybe the guy, you know, goes straight and narrow, watch it, you know, don't trust. Trust but verify, whatever.
Yes.
All right, now, but I think what you need first and foremost is some protection for yourself. Now, I can prescribe a mojo bag, and here's what I would tell you to put in it. I would put in some Queen Elizabeth root, because that's for female strength and power.
Okay.
I would put in some Angelica root. That's for guardian angels and Holy Ghost power. Okay?
Okay.
I would put in some cinnamon. Archangel Michael likes cinnamon. And then I would just say, that ain't going to cut it. Because you got to get out anyway. You got to get out anyway. Okay? So
okay.
That would make a nice little mojo, but you got to get out anyway. So I'm going to ask you, do you have any money put aside?
Some.
Good.
Yeah, I have some.
Good. All right. Do you have a job?
No.
All right. All right. It's going to be harder for you to put money aside is what I'm trying to say. Do you have parents or friends that you can go stay with?
Yes.
All right. Time to call in those favors if you can. Family will help you and friends will help you. But I want you to, as you can, put aside some money. You may have to consider that this reading as a fortune telling, our what we're looking at is this could turn real bad. So you got to get out. You got to get out.
Okay.
Now, because of the unpredictability, unless he goes sober on drugs, all the therapy in the world ain't going to help him, because the drugs themselves are spirits that take over his mind. And that's they rule his mind. And you can almost think of them as evil companions to his mind. The spirit of weed, the spirit of cocaine, the spirit of alcohol, each of them has a different way of thinking. Spirit of weed makes people lazy and kind of happy. Spirit of alcohol can make some people smile and make other people raging crazy. Spirit of cocaine, always raging crazy in the end, you know. Spirit of heroin, they nod out and just basically commit slow suicide. But each one of those drugs has a different way of affecting people. And when people mix and match drugs, they don't always dose themselves to get what they think they're going to get. And you may end up with a wild, raging maniac on your hand. And we're just seeing this.
Okay.
And anything else anybody wants to throw into this one?
Yes. Right quick. I don't know what your religious background is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have found it very helpful. What was that? I'm sorry.
Do you have a religious background of any kind, ma'am?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. What is
Which
it?
One?
There is no certain one.
Okay, there is no certain
more.
One. So you wouldn't find it hard to do exactly what I'm going to tell you to do. Okay?
Okay.
I want you to find there's little stamp things with images of saints on them. Okay? There's a saint called Saint Martha the Dominator. Okay? She can not only be used to work dominating people in love, but can offer help in helping dominate addictions and fears, okay? So you will ask that saint to aid you in dominating that person's demons, which are drug abuse and spousal abuse, okay?
Yes, yes. Saint Martha the Dominator is a saint venerated by Catholics. She actually was a Jewish woman, and she is used to tame demons and snakes in the grass and all any kind of evil. And she is a very powerful spiritual figure. If you want a secular version of the same thing, go online, look for a tarot card called Strength. And the tarot card called Strength shows a woman taming a lion. Same thing, same idea, but that's not a spirit in the same way, but it's an image. You can get the tarot card of Strength printed out and make a small copy of it and put it in your wallet or carry it with you if you don't want to use a Catholic saint. Very similar idea, but it's more secular. Okay?
And I would, you know, and if you are comfortable with using saint imagery, you can get a little prayer card of St. Martha the Dominator, even Archangel Michael. I carry one behind my driver's license in my wallet. You know, so it's always with me. It's always on me. But also, because of my Catholic background, a saint that did come to mind was to pray to, which is Saint Monica, which is a patron of vice and abused victims, for additional guidance as well. And that's just something that came out of the past. I haven't thought about that saint for a while, but definitely do that. And also do keep in mind there are, if you need to, there are resources out there, domestic violence hotlines. There are support out there if you need that additional assistance as well. And do not be afraid to ever reach out to these organizations.
Yeah. You can find these things online. Now, you're not being abused right this moment, perhaps, but I want to make sure that you understand, if this person is one of those kinds who tries to control your activities, the very fact that you called us and maybe, you know, do you know that at our shop, Lucky Mojo Curio Company, we get calls from angry men all the time. What kind of shop is this? And you know that means that some woman bought some product, and the man went through her credit card receipts. What kind of shop is this? I want to know what my wife's been buying, right? Very bad. And we always say to them, oh, we're just a little spiritual company, you know, but they know what they get it, you know. So always be careful in your dealings. Cover your tracks. If you are, if ever been abused, cover your tracks if you do spiritual work, okay?
There was a little something called the Crystal Silence League, young lady.
Oh, yes.
That I will recommend to you. And I'm sorry, it just came to my mind right now. Check out the Crystal Silence League, where you can get prayers from dozens of people, myself being included. And we do prayers on a daily basis for people that do petitions to the Crystal Silence League, okay?
That's right. Crystal Silence League is free. It's at crystalsilenceleague.org. And you can say your prayers. If you have an emergency, you can always call Missionary Independent Spiritual Church and ask for an emergency light to be lit. You can phone at 707-887-7808, and they will light an emergency light. Or you can email them, and it explains how on the World Wide Web, and they will light an emergency light for you. And, you know, we just add our prayers in to everybody else's prayers when we set those little emergency lights for people. But I want to make sure that you're safe and okay. I know right now you're calling and it all looks good right now, but our reading did not foretell a good future if you stay. Okay? So people don't like bad news. And they go, oh, those people tried to scare me. No, we just saw what we saw. And we wish you all the best, and stay safe. Get in contact with us again if you need to, okay? And you can also ask at the forum. Whew, all right.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Wednesdays 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. all times Pacific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our freestyle segment with Candelo Combisa of Combisa.org in West Palm Beach, Florida. Take it away, Tata.
Well, I got to tell you, man, these readings were off the chart. They actually drained me a little bit. But keep note, guys. We are going to, since our topic today was ancestors, and I'm going to keep it simple, okay? Many of you have asked me how to start a spiritual bovada or spiritual altar, or how to make connection with those spirits. It is very simple. All you need is a glass of water, some egg whites, and a little bit of alum. Okay? What we do in our spiritualist tradition, we will start it off by putting a little bit of alum inside of a glass of water with a little bit of egg white. The alum to us is also, it is for protection. It is for scaring off bad spirits, but it is also for sight, what we call bichiti, what we call sight, okay? And the egg white is used to give clarity to that spirit or to be able to see more clearly. So what we do is we start it off on the floor, at the lowest level of your home. On that, on the first, and you take a 7-day candle, or a 9-day candle, or a 1-day candle, or a paper candle. Very simple. You will light that candle up. You will speak that ancestor spirit onto that, or crescent that cup with that particular ancestor's name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, whichever one you choose to say, I crescent this cup for John Doe. After you say that, you would say in Our Father and Psalm 23. On that first day, you start it on the floor, then slowly start moving it up. Some people used to use bricks back in the day. I find that with how many knickknacks and things that we have inside our homes now, you can actually move it inside of a room step by step, day by day, up, up, up. So 9 consecutive days, because 9 is a number that is used or is synchronized with death. Okay? So on that first day, you'll say that prayer. You'll light that candle. You'll move it on up to the second stage. On the second stage, you say the prayer, light the candle, and so on and so forth. All the way till you get up to the 9th day, it'll be on the top or the highest part inside your home. My highest part inside my home happens to be a cabinet that I bought a couple of months ago, but some people's highest part inside their home are their kitchen cabinets. So you can easily just place it up on top of there. On that 9th day, on the following day, on that 10th day, you will take that water and throw it out your front door, refilling it again, and then putting it in your sacred space inside your home. And that is the beginning of your ancestral home.
Now, I got a question.
And of course, yes,
wait
ma'am.
Wait a minute. I got a question. On the 10th day, you throw the water out the door. Now, that water has the egg white in it and a little bit of alum, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, what do you do? Do you put more of that in the cup, or do you put the cup back there empty?
You put it back empty.
Ah,
okay. And whenever you feel that you're not getting that clarity, or you're not getting that alumbre, that light, you can put a little bit of both inside that cup. But when it comes back, it needs to be white and clear as it can be. And of course, like I said earlier, guys, remember, okay, ancestors are not spooks. You don't need to speak to them in Latin, in this, in that, and that. You speak to them in the same language that you know that you're comfortable with, okay? Whether it be Spanish, Creole, Hebrew, whatever it is, okay? But that is, they know your language. They know your language, guys. And I gotta say this again, okay? Because there's a lot of things around there. Oh, let me initiate you into your ancestors. Let me show, tell you how to work with your ancestors. Let me know. Those are your ancestors. They know you. They've been with you. They're always going to be with you. Okay? So I do not go into that whole mysticism thing. These are your ancestors. They understand you. They've always been around you, and they're always going to be around you.
I like what you just said. No need for initiation. They're your ancestors.
Your initiation was when you were born into this world.
That's right. Yes. That's right. So now we have a question or two. Number one, when you put this together, and you said there was a candle that you're going to burn for, you would burn for 9 days if it was a glass candle. What if you have little candles? Would you light a new candle every day?
Every day, ma'am. Yes, as long as it is in something safe, guys. I don't want anything burning down. Put something with water on it. Put something where it's safe. Okay, because remember that at the ninth day, this candle is going to be up on high, on the highest place inside your home. So please make sure that it's safe.
Okay. Now, if you move this up every day, and you said people used bricks, but you can use the steps inside your house. And I've also heard people that use books. They'll say just put different books up and make it go up 9 steps. When you put this away, when you have it all done and you keep it put away, let's say you said you put it up in a cupboard. Well, what if you want to have your ancestors closer down? You just take everything down and work with it on a table?
Yes, ma'am. I've seen people that work with it on tables, on nightstands, and things of that sort. But I got to warn everyone, guys. Your ancestral altar should not be inside your bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Inside your room, or things of that sort. I know that certain people say, well, you know, they put a picture up so the mom can see the baby. That's fine, okay? But there should be no nakedness, no drunkenness, how can I say this? You know, acting a fool in front of your ancestors, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I often tell people, you know, if you just finished having sex, please go up and wash yourself off before you go into your ancestral area.
Okay. And Vicky Trancho says, Dr. E used a ladder sometimes, and that is true. There's these step ladders or ladders that you can lean against a wall. You can buy them any place. Crate and Barrel has beautiful wooden ladders that lean against the wall that you're supposed to put flower pots and pretty stuff on. It's a very good way to look good. Okay. All right. And Miss Michael said you shouldn't be able to say Grandma saw me naked. All right. Well, thank you very, very much, Candela. That was fantastic. Let's turn this over to Papa Newt, and he'll make our closing announcements.
Thank you, Miss Kat, and thank you, Candela Candisa of Candisa.org in West Palm Beach, Florida, for being our guest this week. We do invite you to join us next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Miss Mike Hill of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. And once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com and myself, Papa Newt, your announcer at papanewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Papa Newt. Thank you so much, Candela, for being our guest.
Yeah.
Thank you both.
Yeah, you're a wonderful, wonderful person. I have no idea what happened to Conjureman Ollie, but I'm sure we'll find out later. Now, I guess I have only one more thing left to say. we're back at work at the shop, so I'm going to go back down and make more oils this afternoon. Try to catch up on what I missed by taking my vacation and playing with trains. I want to thank everybody who's been indulging me in my little hobby. And as far as world politics, I hate to do a dated statement on a show that people may listen to later, but y'all keep safe out there, okay? Because it's look this week up in world history. It was not good. All right, folks? Stay safe. All right. Good night, all.
Good night. Good night.